begin today with a video clip.
This planet is threatened with destruction, and we who live in it with death. The heavens reek, the waters below are foul, children die in infancy, and we and the world which is our home live on the brink of nuclear annihilation. We are in a crisis of survival.
This is a CBS News special, Earth Day, a question of survival, with CBS News correspondent Walter Cronkite.
Good evening. A unique day in American history is ending, a day set aside for a nationwide outpouring of mankind seeking its own survival. Earth Day, a day dedicated to enlisting all the citizens of a bountiful country in the common cause of saving life from the deadly byproducts of that bounty, the fouled skies, the filthy waters, the littered earth. As a demonstration, its success was mixed, beyond expectations here, far below there. No one now can know exactly how many took part. We do have an idea how many planned participation. Student groups in 2,000 colleges and 10,000 lower schools. Citizen groups in 2,000 communities. By one measurement, Earth Day failed. It did not unite. It did attract that broad cross-section of America its sponsors wanted. Not quite. Its demonstrators were predominantly young, predominantly white, predominantly anti-Nixon. Often its protests appeared frivolous. Its protesters curiously carefree. Yet the gravity of the message of Earth Day still came through. Act or die. We begin our report with Bruce Morton in Denver.
That was a CBS News report about the very first Earth Day in 1970. My family was devoted to Walter Cronkite, so I might have seen it then, but I don't remember it. I was only 8 years old. I do remember feeling the sense of impending catastrophe that it evokes. That portion of my childhood was filled with stories real and imagined of environmental devastation and nuclear apocalypse. As a child, I had a terrible recurring nightmare in which the air was so bad that my family lived in our attic. For some reason, the air there was okay. To leave, you had to wear a gas mask. Out in public, there were breathing stations that looked like parking meters spaced along the sidewalks. If your gas mask petered out, you could hold your breath and run from station to station. In this dream, there were hardly any other people on the streets because they were all huddled in their attics. I don't know where that dream came from, but it could be this. Again, I don't remember seeing this image in 1970, but I might have. Now it shows up every time I Google Earth Day. It's an advertising poster for an art show associated with Earth Day. Seeing it gives me a gut punch of terror every time. Oops, I think I did not actually stop the previous share, so I'm going to reshare this because I think I wasn't sharing. Nope, sorry. Okay, now it's finally correctly sharing. All right, sorry about that. There's the second image. Did y'all actually see the second image? Okay, all right, you might have seen it the first time. I'm getting a weird message on my screen for that video. Thank you. So the timing of Earth Day on April 22nd does not seem to have been in sync with the Christian liturgical calendar. But in 1970 and in 2020, it occurred within a few days of this liturgical Sunday, the fourth Sunday of Easter. Maybe that's coincidentally auspicious. Today is Good Shepherd Sunday, so named because it's the Sunday traditionally designated for the Good Shepherd reading from the Gospel of John. We actually only heard a part of that full passage today. I searched for the reason why Good Shepherd Sunday is the fourth Sunday of Easter, or why it was actually originally the third Sunday of Easter. I didn't find a firm answer, but I did discover, to my complete lack of surprise, a possible pagan connection. According to Wikipedia, the Parilia is an ancient Roman festival of rural character performed annually on 21 April, aimed at cleansing both sheep and shepherd. It is carried out in acknowledgement to the Roman deity Polles, a deity of uncertain gender who is a patron of shepherds and sheep. Here's one fanciful depiction of the festival Parilia by an 18th century Flemish artist. This will be our last share for the day, just by the way. Probably looks more Flemish than Roman, but still gives you a sense of joyful celebration and caring for the needs of the people. There are at least a couple of ways to interpret the frequent alignments of the pagan and Christian calendars. Maybe nascent Christianity found it necessary to accommodate the majority religion. Or maybe nascent Christianity, like its predecessor religions, was sensitive enough to incorporate the natural rhythms to which all living things are subject. It's only in relatively recent human history that so many humans have had the option to ignore those rhythms of nature. Technology has given humans the capacity to claim the dominion over nature supposedly promised in Genesis. Humans have done so with gusto, and the results have been calamitous. The earth is being marked, and so are we. If you go looking for biblical passages in which Jesus tells his followers to care for the earth, you'll come up short. To be fair to Jesus, this was probably something he didn't realize he needed to say. For one thing, humanity hadn't yet developed its potential for environmental devastation. For another, Jesus, like everyone else, would have by necessity lived his entire life in close relationship with nature. Imagine that. Aside from a few excursions on the Sea of Galilee and one donkey ride into Jerusalem, Jesus walked every place he went. He ate food produced locally and organically. He didn't need Marie Kondo's help to declutter. Aside from his clothes, he had few possessions. The dwellings where he sheltered were less like the hermetically sealed houses of today and more like what we would experience camping. Today's reading from John is a reference to Ezekiel 34. There God commands Ezekiel to prophesy to the leaders of Israel with words including these: "Ah, you shepherds of Israel who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the sheep." And these: "I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, but the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with justice." Seemingly in response, today we heard John's Jesus say this: "I am the good shepherd." Just a bit later, he will add, "The Father and I are one." This passage intends to tell us something about Jesus and about who Jesus is in relationship to God. It's tempting, especially for us who are clergy, to try to step in as real-time shepherds of the sheep. We really should avoid that. Remember last week in John 21, three times we heard Jesus tell Peter to care for Jesus' sheep. Jesus doesn't say they've become Peter's sheep, or that Peter is the new shepherd. Peter might be an ovine standout, but he's still very much one among the sheath. Of course, we are too. Each one of us is one among the sheep. But it's not so bad being sheep if you have a good shepherd. With that good shepherd, we can focus on being agreeable sheep. Sheep that belong to the flock without tormenting other sheep and hoarding grass. Sheep that actually follow the shepherd who has already brought them to the kingdom of heaven. Let's get back to that video I started with. When I first watched it this week, I was surprised by how relevant it felt. The environmental situation was dire then, and it's dire now. We should feel at least a little terrified about the prospects for the future of the earth and its inhabitants. But we should also remember that the original environmental movement did yield important results. The air got cleaner, the water got cleaner. Yes, a lot was missed. But it's not yet too late to fix it. We just need to follow the Good Shepherd. In this place, at this time of year, nature seems to be shouting for attention, and through it, God seems to be begging for praise. In response, we raise our sheepish bleats to heaven with vows to bless this earth and to keep it.